I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're in the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Get on for all on a bench.com for the situation down in Atlanta, February 3rd. You know what I'm talking about. It's on, baby, at Mercedes. All the picks, all the props, you'll have it all on ForellOnABench.com. Now we just wait, so we got to hit everything else. NBA and college rack, NHL's off now with the All-Star break. You can bet on that on Saturday. Boxing, MMA, every big fight, daily fantasy rosters. ForellOnABench.com is where the action is, and I hit tons of winners. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. Don't forget, we're in Vegas all next week at the D Casino View Bar. Every night, a live show, five of them from the 28th to the 1st. 7 o'clock Vegas time every night, second floor of the D. And then the biggest big game bash you ever seen in your life at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center. I mean, just thousands of thirsty fans show up. Free entry, all ages. The craziest party you ever seen in your life. Get a man cave or table at downtownwatchzone.com. It's at the Event Center right across from the valet at the D. It's crazy. They have kiosks set up from William Hill for betting on the game. It's beautiful. Come see us live and go to the party of your life at the D Casino in Las Vegas all next week, and then Sunday the 3rd is the bash. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-2124. CBS brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance? Get it all at geico.com. Tomorrow, episode 129 of Ferrell and a Bet's, my sports betting podcast on Westwood One, westwoodonepodcast.com, iTunes, and Google Play. Subscribe free and follow it on Twitter, at onabetswwo. Jerry Palm is our bracketologist at everything CBS, CBS Sports Radio, CBS HQ, CBSSports.com. He's back on the bench again. Jerry.
What's going on, man?
How you doing, brother? Everything good?
Yeah. All right. Guys won tonight.
We did. So let me ask you a question. So Indiana's been losing a lot, right? And I know, yep, Purdue beat them and everything else. I see, you know, just from like 3 days ago, whatever, when you did your latest bracketologist, you have them at 9 in the South. Can they continue to have problems and lose and still make it?
Well, there's a long way to go. You know, if they completely tank the last, 6 weeks of the regular season, they're not going to make it. They're going to have to play better than they have because it's a pretty unforgiving league. It's the best league in the country, top to bottom. So, you know, they're going to have to find a way to hit some three-point shots. They're going to have to find a way to hit some free throws, although they were better at that against Northwestern. And they just have to play defense. It's really weird because, I mean, you followed Indiana basketball. I followed it too. And it's weird for me to watch an Indiana basketball team that can't shoot and can't defend. And this team really doesn't do either of those things very well.
You're right. I like Romeo Langford. Is he one and done?
Oh, yeah. I would imagine so. Langford, although he's part of the shooting problem, he's not a very good, at least this season, not a very good three-point shooter. But he takes a lot of them. Him and Juwan Morgan are the only two players that Indiana can reliably count on, although Purdue really took Langford out of the game. After that, you know, some guys like Finis, he'll play well once in a while. Smith plays well once in a while. But they're not getting consistent play from really anybody other than Morgan and Langford. And in this league, that may not be enough most nights.
So Tennessee with an overtime win tonight in Vanderbilt in Smashville. They win by 5, and they outscored them 12-7 in the overtime. Now that they're number one, I mean, I don't ever remember seeing that. So how do you think they look as a top team in the country? Are you buying or selling that?
Oh, no, I like Tennessee. I've liked them all year. I liked them before the year. I thought this was a potential Final Four team, and they are living up to that. That was a tough game at Vanderbilt tonight, man. Grant Williams is a beast. They're a veteran team. They've got a couple of, you know, really good players in particular, Admiral Schofield too, and then they're just really well coached. They remind me a lot, actually, of last year's Purdue team, which it's because you don't see a lot of old teams in college basketball, especially highly ranked old teams. You usually, you know, those are like Duke, you know, where you've got all these great freshmen that are not going to be there next year. And it's, I really kind of enjoy watching teams like Tennessee that know how to play together, that can do different things, and where you've got really good team chemistry built over 3 or 4 years of playing together. And this Tennessee team is really talented and really well coached, and they're going to be a tough out all season long.
You know, you're the bracketology that you've done already, like the setup you have, like that Tennessee, Kansas, I mean, that region in the South that you have, Arizona State, Villanova, Nevada, North Carolina, Iowa, I mean, Temple, that's a sickening, Maryland even, a sickening bracket. I mean, that's just an incredible region if that comes to fruition.
Yeah, well, like I said, long way to go. But, you know, and I think Maryland, by the way, is a team that's kind of under the radar a little bit, having a bad expected season, despite what happened to them at Michigan State the other day. Happens to everybody at Michigan State just about. But Maryland's having a great year.
So you have in the West, Virginia 1, Gonzaga 2. I love that, you know, Marquette St. John's you put in there. I think LSU's starting to play good basketball. They won tonight, I think, by 10. Auburn's very tough. Minnesota has played well. Ohio State is decent. I mean, that's another one that you put together that looks, you know, fairly exciting and violent. Even Iowa State in there as a 4.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Iowa State is that's a tough team. You know, just physically, mentally tough team. And, yeah, they're going to be at those regions. You know, you're talking about even some of the 9 and 10 seeds. They're all good teams. You know, nobody's a pushover once you get to the NCAA tournament. You get, you know, the 16, the 15, the 14th, yeah, maybe. But you get to once you get into the second round of the NCAA tournament, all of those teams are good. They all know how to win. You better show up to play.
So in the East, you have Michigan 1, Kentucky 2, and then there's other ones in there like Va Tech, and TCU's tough, Cuse obviously with the zone, Kansas State, Louisville. I love the way, you know, I got to be honest with you, the way Louisville and Kentucky are playing, they are turning it up a notch right now. I'm really impressed with what Calipari's doing with Kentucky, but it's the same old thing. They're just deep and always good no matter who he puts out there.
Yeah, and it's taken them a little bit longer to fit all the pieces together this year. They kind of got off to a slow start, obviously, you know, blow their doors off with the first game, and they lose at home to Seton Hall. But since then, they've only got a 2-point loss at Alabama. They've won a 7 out of 8 or 8 out of 9 now, I think. And, you know, Kentucky's starting to look like the team that we thought could challenge for an SEC championship, and they probably will challenge Tennessee for that regular season title. So, you know, they're coming along, too. And then, you mentioned Kansas State. Kansas State was playing without Wade, their top player, for quite a while. Well, he's been back now for a couple of weeks, and you're seeing what Kansas State can do. That team is – it's don't be surprised if they end up being the team that challenges Kansas in the Big 12 this year.
Yeah, I believe it. And in the Midwest, you have Duke. This one's loaded to Michigan State. I mean, come on, Seton Hall. I like that Cincinnati team. Houston's been incredible. Texas Tech, they're my favorite. I thought they had Duke by the throat at the Garden. Wisconsin with Hap. I mean, they're interesting. Ole Miss is like an upset team. They can play with anybody. That thing looks loaded.
Yep. And Texas Tech has lost, I think, 3 in a row now. But the Big 12 is pretty deep. You know, so it's going to be that kind of a year in that league. I'm a Michigan State fan. Every time I put Michigan State in a region with Duke, I get like 95,000 Michigan State fans mad at me. But I have a feeling, though, Duke is going to be the favorite when we get to March. You know, if they're healthy, healthy Duke is probably the best team. And I think healthy Duke will be the team that most people are filling out of their brackets is going to pick for a champion.
So your last four in at this point, you know, this week, is VCU, Texas, Butler, and UCF. You still with that? And then your first four out would be Arizona, Pitt, Alabama, and Baylor. Alabama had a big win last night.
Yeah, they did. And I know Butler and Texas. Texas lost tonight. Butler lost to Villanova yesterday. And I think VCU was playing tonight, too. I never did see how that turned out. They were playing Rhode Island. So, you could definitely see some churning at the bottom of that bracket. Alabama almost certainly going to be back in after their big win yesterday.
Yeah, so VCU lost by 6 to the Rams on the road.
Yeah, to Rhode Island, right.
Yeah.
So they could fall out. I mean, you can't take everybody out, but, those are all – they're not the most damaging losses when you consider the opponents they played, but certainly not all three of those teams are going to still be in the bracket. Somebody's got to come out.
That was a good win for Purdue tonight in Columbus.
Yeah, that's Ohio State's kind of having the same problems Indiana is. I mean, in terms of the results, that's their fifth loss in a row, too, in the league. And I'm telling you, man, you have any kind of a funk in this league this year, you're going to get battered because you're playing somebody good, you know, almost every, even the teams at the bottom that aren't going to make the tournament. Illinois beats Minnesota by, 25, something like that. Rutgers beats Nebraska the other day. You just got to show up and play every night in this league.
Are you still buying Nevada? They're playing at home tonight against Colorado State as we speak on CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, I think that game's just getting underway. I like Nevada. I think they're really good. I don't know if they're going to be able to build a resume that's going to get them a really high seed. I suppose if they go whatever it is, 34-1, but that one loss is a 27-point loss in New Mexico. That to me is like the most head-scratching loss of the season so far. I have no idea how that happened. But Nevada, I mean, the Elite Eight last year, all those guys are back, or almost all those guys are back. So, yeah, once the tournament gets started, you know, they're going to be a tough out.
Do you think people, like fans, like watching college basketball in, you know, February forward, you know, before the conference tournaments, and that do you think they get sick of, I'm being honest, Duke getting all the attention and publicity and all the TV games, and it's all about Duke. It's like literally, I mean, they lose a game and they drop one spot. I understand it, but I don't think the average fan appreciates it or understands it.
I get sick of the Duke love fest sometimes. What annoys me is that, you know, they have a week of television called Rivalry Week, which is basically the Duke Carolina game and then a bunch of other games that may or not be rivalries. You know, that just we happen to be televising that week so we can promote Duke Carolina. I can understand why people might get sick of that, but it's not all the time. And if you want to find good college basketball, it's everywhere. Watch the Big Ten, watch the ACC, watch the SEC, watch the Big 12 this year. Big East, you're going to see some pretty entertaining basketball.
Who do you think is Jerry Palm, the bracketologist extraordinaire with us on the bench, who do you think is the best, like, small, you know, school in terms of small conference type, you know, nobody respects, but who do you think it is?
Murray State.
With that kid,
Jay Morant.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh.
He's climbing up the draft boards.
Yeah, he's a point guard. He had 21 free throws the other day too in a game. He's got every facet of the game covered. He can score, he can dish, he can rebound. Although maybe that's more of a function of his league. He's a great shooter. There isn't really anything he can't do. And now they got to win their league. There's a couple other good teams in their league. You know, you can't really be a one-man team anywhere, but boy, if you're going to be a one-man team, he's a guy to have, a pretty good guy to have as your one man.
I mean, he really lights it up. You know, some of these other ones, I just want to throw them out there, like that no one ever talks about. Last year was Loyola of Chicago that everybody got on. Is like, you know, the Gauchos and Ryder and Bucknell that you have as those, like, 15s and Woffords. And Lipscomb, there's all kinds of teams, Radford, that are Vermont dangerous, that, you know, Northern Kentucky, that could upset somebody in the first round.
Yeah, those, I don't know if they're going to get a good enough seed, but if somebody like Lipscomb comes out of the A-10 that was in the tournament before, someone like Wofford, you know, beat Carolina last year, you know, that's got a lot of those same guys, you know, guys who have been in the tournament, maybe didn't have success, but they're not afraid, you know, they're not going to say afraid. They're not overwhelmed by the experience anymore. You know, you've got a veteran team that's been in the tournament before. Those are the guys that are dangerous to me.
So that's awesome on College Rack. How do you think Tiger's going to do at Torrey Pines this week? I've never asked you a golf question.
You know what? There's a good reason for that. I pay very little attention, especially this time of year. I'll watch the majors, you know, when we get to the summer.
What do you think of Tom Brady? Do you think he's the greatest athlete that's ever been on the face of the earth?
No.
All right, listen, Jerry, great stuff tonight on College Rack. I'll catch up with you as we move forward. Every couple of weeks, we'll have you on to see where we're at with the bracketologist extraordinary, Jerry Palm. Thanks, Jerry.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, Jerry Palm of CBSSports.com and HQ talking about the NCAA basketball season. 855-212-4-CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Carver High, the Predators have taken the lead here in Vegas 2-1.
Yes, they have.
An impressive performance here in the second with a big chunk left, over 14 and a half minutes and counting. Vegas on the power play. And that Jazz game's 43-40 over Denver. In the West, like in hockey, who would you say, I mean, at the end of the day, now that we're, you know, deep into things and the way they've come back and turned their season around, if you were to guess right now, like of those teams, you know, Flames, Sharks, Knights, because I think they're the only ones that matter in, beside, you know, in the Pacific, and then, you know, Jets, Predators, you know, I'm iffy on the Wild and Stars. Do you think that Vegas is back in, like, the Western Conference Final?
I think they definitely have a chance to be. Right now, to me, there's only five teams that matter in the West. All these other teams, honestly, have separated and they're junk. You know, Calgary, San Jose, Vegas, Winnipeg, and Nashville. Those are your five teams. Those teams are better than all the other teams in the Western Conference by a lot. All these other teams are you know, they're the same. Dallas, Colorado, Vancouver, Anaheim. Arizona's done a nice job getting back. Minnesota. You know, it's even Edmonton, who's awful, is only 3 points back of the playoff spot. So the lower part of the West and the middle part, it stinks. But Vegas has absolutely a chance. You never know with them. I mean, obviously Winnipeg and Nashville are good. Do you believe in Calgary yet? They've had an unbelievable year.
I think they're tough.
They're tough. They've had a really good year.
I think they're loaded with talent, but they always find a way to crash and burn, don't they?
Would you be shocked if they won the Pacific, if they lost in the first round? Would it shock you?
I mean, I guess it would shock me if they lost in the first round. I think that they should, you know, they're talented enough, deep enough to go into the second round. Let me ask you, the Islanders, you have them in first in the Metro. Did you ever think, seriously, in all honesty, that they'd be this good? And why are they this good? Is it because of Trotz? Is it because of that goalie? What is the reason that they're so good? You know, I hate to say it, sans your boy in Toronto, Tavares.
Well, look, it's nobody thought that they would be here. Absolutely nobody said they'd be in first place at the All-Star break. It's Trotz. It's 100% Trotz. It's 90% the same team that gave up the most goals in the NHL last year. I mean, minus Tavares, add a couple smaller pieces, it's the same team. And now they've given up the least amount of goals in the league. It's him. It's coaching. They should just put, you know, when you know the cliche of the coaching matters, but it actually does with him. Like, he's made that big of a difference with that team. Now, Leonard's been really good, too. So has Greiss. Both of their goaltenders have been outstanding.
Can you believe the Capitals have lost seven in a row?
They've lost seven in a row, and somebody sent me this before. They've given up 30 goals in their past five games. 30 goals in five games. The Islanders have given up 30 goals in their last 17.
That's crazy.
How about that?
And who beat them tonight? Toronto.
Toronto, who also was playing poorly before that game. So Toronto needed a win in the worst way.
They needed a win. They've gone four of their last 10, but they won tonight. And they're, you know, standing firm in second in the Eastern Conference in the Atlantic Division. Overall in the conference, the Islanders are ahead of the Leafs.
Who would have thought that when we watched Johnny at the podium back on July 1st? But there's still a long way to go. There's 30 games left.
The one I'm surprised about is that the Canadians are sitting there.
Yeah, they weren't supposed to be good this year either. The Canadians and the Islanders have both been nice stories in the Eastern Conference.
Who do the Canadians have? How is this happening? They lost Pacioretty and they're better?
You know, this happens sometimes. Sometimes the team plays more as a whole, like with the Islanders. It's, you know, it's crazy how it can go down, but they've gotten some really nice contributions by a bunch of guys. Max Domi's been really good for them. Drouin's he's got 30-plus points. You know, they've Gallagher, of course, he's got 19 goals. They've got guys who can play.
How is it that Connor McDavid is on this Oiler team? He's as good as he is, puts up the numbers. Is it that the rest of them are so bad? I saw that Chiarelli, is that who they got rid of?
Yeah, Chiarelli got fired.
So the top guy, the suit, got fired today. But, and you said that – the guy was in trouble.
I said last night he's going to get fired.
There you go.
The next couple days.
And then he got fired today. So why? How can you lose that much with and they're really not losing that much. They're only a game under 500. But is with a guy like McDavid, are you surprised at how bad they suck? I mean, overall, they're very deep in the Western Conference with a long battle in front of them.
Look, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. They tried the coaching switch. That did not work. They put Hitchcock in there, which we talked about. It's amazing that people keep hiring that guy. But they just haven't put the right pieces around him. That's that simple. That's all that it is right now. They need to find the right mix around him, and they haven't done it yet.
All right, so let's get the phones going. 855-212-4CBS on the Pats and Rams. The buildup continues. Why are you not talking about this game yet? I'm not talking about Pro Bowls. I'm talking about Super Bowls. Can Brady be stopped? Can Goff do it? Can he actually pull it off? What to expect from Belichick and McVay? Is there going to be more, you know, trickery, fake punts? Are you going to have quarterbacks throwing to themselves? I mean, what's going to happen in this game? Who do you like? Do you think the Pats are going to go down there and lose two straight Super Bowls? I mean, they lost to the Eagles last year. What do you think they're going to do this time around? Brady in his ninth, going for number six. Will they tie the Steelers? All this is on the table.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Did you see this P.J. Williams guy for the Saints got popped for a DUI?
I did see that.
He's been popped before in Florida in 2015. The case was thrown out because police dash cam failed to capture key moments from that arrest. He played at Florida State, won a national championship with famous Jameis, and he played 15 games this year for the Saints. He had 53 tackles, a pick, and a sack. He started the NFC Championship game against the Rams. And that eight tackles broke up a pass in the loss. It turns out, Carver High, that the Saints have lost that game in overtime. I know that there's representatives from the, D.C., right, up on the Capitol Hill that are clamoring for a Saturday rematch. They want the Saints to play the Rams this Saturday. Do you think the Rams are going to show up for that game, that challenge?
I really don't expect to see them playing on Saturday. If that's, I mean, these people cannot be serious, can they? Are they really serious?
They are.
You know, I got almost a million people that work for the government not getting paid right now. But let's worry about the Saints losing that game, right?
Yeah. So Williams was pulled over doing 80 and a 50 allegedly. He was intoxicated allegedly. They tried to administer a breath test, but he refused. He was arrested. He was booked for driving while intoxicated, speeding, improper lane usage, a failure to use a turn signal. And he was arrested today, and he was drunk in the Big Easy. 25-year-old booked for drunk driving, careless driving at 1 in the morning. He was released 3 hours later, and there you go. So it just keeps getting worse down in New Orleans. Good evening, New Orleans. Don't blame me for your bad luck right now and the refs. I had nothing to do with it. I mean, let's just get serious here. Pharrell was not involved, although it's easy to blame me. And if you have to, go ahead and blame me for all of the bad luck. It's called Blame Pharrell For.
You want to blame somebody, blame yourself.
I mean, it has got to be terrible. What's going on? Joe in D.C., you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell, thanks for taking my call.
Hey.
I wonder, do you see a mid-season change for the Capitals? Because Reardon totally has lost his team, and nobody's listened to a word he's saying.
I actually don't believe that when you win the Stanley Cup that you're going to freak out over a seven-game malaise. Carver, how do you think they're going to fire the coach in his first year there?
I do not, only because all I heard all summer was how they were grooming this guy for years to take over for the job.
For greatness.
So I don't believe it. I will say this. I can tell you firsthand. The guy they lost makes a difference. I never really believed too much. Obviously, coaching makes a difference when you have a really good coach. What this guy's done to my team is just, they have to be missing it down there. They have to be.
I mean, they probably didn't even like doing the honoring Trotz night because they're swinging a miss on letting him get out of there.
It was a big swing and a miss.
So, like, you know, the whole thing with, like, welcoming him back was, you know, at the end of the day, pretty cheesy.
Well, you have to do it. You know, there's certain situations where it has to be done, and the Capitals did.
Had they already given him his ring, or?
They gave him his ring when they played the Islanders in Brooklyn in November.
Oh.
So they brought the ring there that night when they first saw him.
Wow. And now he's made a winner in short order of your team, but they are losing. Who is this guy, Reardon?
Well, he was, you know, Trotz's assistant for the whole time he was there.
I know, but I mean, so this has been the plan all along. You're telling me they were grooming him.
He said they were grooming this guy to take over for Trotz.
Who do you blame for the way they're playing? I mean, what is the problem? When you have that much talent and you win the Stanley Cup and kick everyone's ass, are they just having a, like, we don't care moment? Or do they actually have problems on the PK, the power play? Because Ovi was scoring tons of goals. I don't get
Ovi still could. They're scoring goals every night. I mean, they're losing these games. What was it? 7-6 last night to the Sharks.
Right.
They scored a bunch of goals tonight. I mean, they're scoring goals.
They're just giving up too many.
Their defensive system right now and their goaltending has been awful.
It's unbelievable. Joe, I mean, it seems like your team's screwed and they're not going to fire the coach. Then again, stranger things have happened. I don't believe they're going to fire the guy in his first year because they're having a bad run. I think they have bigger fish to fry, like, down the road with this guy.
I think if they had a complete and total collapse for the rest of the season and they missed the playoffs,
then they'd fire him.
Maybe you could see something happen. But there's still 30 games to go here, and I still believe that that team is going to be in the playoffs, and that's where we'll really see.
For the most part, when guys get the job in the NHL and they give them a deal, like the Ranger guy and, you know,
Quinn.
So when they get the job for the first year, the expectations are tepid, and I think that, you know, you're not going to fire the guy the first year. You're going to let him, you know, settle in and see how he does. Like, every one of these coaches in the NFL to get these jobs on these crappy teams that fire their coaches, they don't do, like, exceedingly well in the first season at all. So I think they give him, you know, I think it's like a three-year window to sink or swim. And if they haven't started winning by the third year, then they start talking in meetings about firing guys.
Yeah, in the NFL, it's usually 3 years.
Right.
We've seen, obviously, Wilkes this year at Arizona got right. 1 year. We know what the Browns have done in the past with some short hooks. But for the most part, you usually get 3 years. And in the NHL, you never see guys get fired after 1 year. You pretty much never see it.
Right. Sorry, Carver Hyde's just not having it, and he just dumps you, and that's the end of it. It's like a real quick hook. He talked about the NHL hook. You're getting some of that.
You're
here.
Either ready or you're not.
It's
that simple.
You got to get on and just get right into the flow of things. Kyle in San Diego on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Pharrell? Thanks for taking my call. Just two little things. I hope Sean McVay beats Tom Brady. I know he's the GOAT, though. And I just had another question. I heard you talking about, just kind of off topic, the Vegas Knights Stadium. I'm going to Vegas in February.
Right.
I asked my girlfriend, do you want to go to the game? She said, no. I'm a huge sports fan. Do I go by myself? I'm about that.
So, all right, so like, I like your onions. You're gonna like leave her at the casino and you're going to go to the hockey game?
Well, she's got a best friend that lives there. She's already told me. I'm going to be doing my own thing, and I'm a big poker player, so I figured that we'll kind of be on our own some days. So it's kind of like, do I say screw it and go? Because I heard you talk about the stadium.
Right, so is her best friend like a chick or a dude?
Chick. I'm smarter than that.
All right, well, there you go. Because sometimes, like, I've had the dude thing end up, you know, sleeping with the chick. I mean, believe I got chicks. Believe me, I've had girlfriends with the, you know, boyfriend friend type. I'm going to see my buddy over here. And then, you know, the next thing you know, you got relations and you don't see her for 3 days. Here's the deal, dude. If she's going to hang out in Vegas with her friend, some chick she knows, then by all means, run to the T-Mobile Arena and watch the Knights. You're going to love it. It's a great experience. It really is cool. Just even the atmosphere around the bars right there at the arena, it's surrounded by bars and restaurants. It's literally engulfed in like a party paradise. It is the coolest place to go see an NHL game, bar none. And I mean to tell you, the save they just made on the Knights, they just about tied the score with 3 minutes left in the second, but got stoned on a 2-on-0 breakaway. The goalie came up big with the stretched satchel. Check out. Ooh. Yeah, go to the game. Screw your girlfriend. As another wise man said, screw your friends. Girlfriends. So anyway,
Again, another wise man said, if you can get more money, screw your friends.
Andrew, what?
The boy's playing. He's gambling for sure, not just going to Vegas and gambling on the tables. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a girlfriend, guy friend. She's hanging out with her friend all this time by herself. Someone's hitting on her.
Yeah, someone's hitting on her, and they might be hitting on each other. There might be some action going on there.
The last place I want to take my girlfriend, just let her go off by herself for days at a time, is Vegas.
Do you think he said, like, he goes, I'm not that stupid, but maybe...
Yeah, you are. You are, though, because you believe, oh, she's with a girl. She's safe. No.
She's with a girl. That could be even more trouble. Like, you think, oh, these chicks are just, you know... pansy, they're lame, they don't do anything, they have some tea.
Some of the people that we're hanging out with in Vegas, you know, a couple martinis, all of a sudden they're telling guys things they shouldn't.
You remember my friends, you remember the one, she went out and had like four martinis at dinner
not
the other night?
Not even four, just two.
She had two and she was just hammered.
Telling guys her history.
At the MGM, but she was cool, right?
They were awesome.
They were New York chicks and they mean business. Do they
it
all
doesn't
live?
Take much.
Do they all live here, Long Island and New York.
Yeah, she was from the Bronx. The others were from Long Island, I believe.
Oh, man, those chicks were crazy, dude. And she's like, I mean, the hangover that chick had. She showed up at the media center, and she just looked like she had been put in a dryer. I loved her. She was funny. Andrew in Florida.
What's going on, Pharrell? I got a little kick on my throat. Can you give me a hottie toddy real quick?
Give me a little hottie toddy, check out. All right.
Oh, that's so much better. Thank
there you.
You. I just wanted to say, like, I'm finally kind of over the Chiefs-Patriots game. I'm a Chiefs fan, you know, grew up in Florida and all kind of stuff. But I'll say, even though I'm a Tom Brady hater, I'll admire him a little bit for going to talk to Mahomes after the game. You know, I don't know what was said. Maybe he was telling him he's the worst thing he's ever seen. Maybe tell him where he can do better. But I admire him, you know, maybe his goodbye tour. He's taking that time to talk to the younger guys.
Well, I just think he talked to him because he's a champion and a winner and a leader and frankly, a good man. And I, you know, people hate him for whatever reasons. It's ridiculous. The fact is, I'm not surprised at all. He talked to Mahomes, the kids in his second year, and he had an incredible season, put up just staggering numbers, and he brought that team back in that game. They were getting their ass beat, so... I'm sure he told him he did great, and he, you know, all big things are, you know, to those that wait and work hard, that his day will come, and it just, you know, wasn't that day at Arrowhead on Sunday. This guy can, you know, play against anybody, can score against anybody, can light any defense up, but the fact of the matter is Brady's just better. Subban got slashed. He's livid. He's skating around, and he looks like he's injured his hand, or he could be acting. I have to see the actual slash. I don't know what's going on there. Do you see it? Like, I don't know what happened there. It was in the crease. Did you see how he injured his hand? I really don't see it. Now all hell is breaking loose. Subban wants to go at it with Reeves. There might be a fight breaking out here. Somebody could lose an eye with a haymaker, with a headbutt. Subban cussing everyone out on his way over to the bench. He looks like he may have cranked a couple of fingers. Reeves wants to bash somebody's skull, and he's still shaking his hand. He's livid. He's screaming on the ice. Apparently, he's cut. Now, there was a little slashing going on in the back. I never really saw. Here's where it is. I don't know what happened there, Carver High. His glove came off, and he looked like he had. Oh, I guess there it is. He was tangled up with the guy, and I think his glove had fallen off, so his hand was inside his helmet, up by his face.
It was weird.
And he may have got it caught in his helmet and cranked. He may have cranked it back. He's still trying to show everybody that he's bleeding.
You think he's trying to say that he bit him?
That he bit him? Are you kidding? He's saying this guy bit him. Maybe he did bite him.
Why would he go so crazy about, you know, his hand getting stuck in the helmet?
That's it. You're right. He bit him. Who is that? What is the guy's name? Is it... 41. Is it Belvedere?
Look at how calm he is, and then all of a sudden, Subban goes crazy.
Is that Belvedere liquor? Bottle of Belvedere. Shake out. I think you're right. I think Subban's saying he got bit.
I mean, I'm just guessing. I have no idea.
I'm not guessing
anymore.
I'm
trying to figure out why he would be so crazy about it.
He definitely is saying he got bit. You can see it. He's losing it. And Belvedere's over there taking chunks of his finger out of his mouth. Like sunflower seed debris. Check out. Subban, a stud, and the Predators, very good team. They're still up 2-1, right? Anyway. It just never ends, right? These people biting others. We saw a lot of fighting tonight in our game, Mafia. No one got bit, but there was chair throwing, computer smashing, cussing, spitting on women. I've seen it all. Undescribable, horrific behavior on the basketball courts tonight.
He's saying his hand got caught in his mouth trying to move it up his face, I guess.
Oh, he must have, like, given him a little scrum and gave him a little facial, and then he said, I'll give you something to think about. Crunch, Captain Crunch, son.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.